I got one.
You got one?
Yeah, it's from Letterkenny, so.
Ooh, we'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm literally going to have to get Hulu because of you. All right.
I can't do it in the accent, but I'll do my best.
Do it.
Well, there's nothing better than a fart. Except for kids falling off bikes, maybe. Fuck. I could watch kids falling off bikes all day. I don't give a fuck about your kids.
Cue the music.
Cue it.
This week's episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast features movie theaters, streaming services, The Last of Us 2, Hamilton on Disney Plus, Psych 2, Lassie Come Home, Taco Bell's Grilled Cheese Burrito, and musical guest Greta Thunberg.
Hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to the Asteroid Factory podcast. We're nerd.
Listen! Sorry. I'm a little early.
We're Nerd Knowledge is on point. We are your hosts, James Von Doom.
I'm Chewy.
And you got Three Toes of Fury in the hot seat.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today, Three Toes?
Yo, all right. So the topic du jour is going to be with cinematic new releases, kind of few and far between.
Movie theaters being closed.
Yes, and so where do we turn? And this is actually something I've been thinking about a lot lately, so I appreciate you guys taking this topic, and we'll jump into this one shortly. But it's really, I mean, we do funnel a fair amount into what's coming, what are we going to see at the theaters, what's out of the theaters that we want to see. Not going to be much of that, so where do we put our nerd energy? I've got a couple ideas, and I think it all comes down to charity work, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oof. I almost said choking the chicken on that.
Charity work. And strangling chickens. All right.
Okay, so before we get to that, we need to get to our picks of the week. Who wants to go first?
I have one that I am excited to share with, but it might be the best one, so I can go last if you want.
Awesome. I will volley. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Chewy with his pick of the week.
Ah, ooh. I was not prepared at all.
That was a soft pass?
What is that? So my pick of the week is something I've kind of discussed with you guys a little bit here and there. And it's the game Last of Us 2. Because I was just talking to Doom about this yesterday and I told him I took a break, but then I went back to it yesterday. It's like, it's as if I have this addiction to something that I know is hurting me and making
basically
me
all addictions. Yes.
Yeah,
go
pretty
on.
Much. Yeah.
Go on.
But what this will amount to be will be a review, a spoiler-free review, as I'm only, I think, about 40 or 50% through the game.
Nice.
And Doom, I wanted to ask you this.
Hit me.
Because you, I think you'll be able to weigh in on this. When you are playing a video game on PlayStation 3, or I mean, on PlayStation
1.
On an Xbox,
I
don't think they do it on Switch. I know they do it on PC, but you can always go back to the menu and you can see a percentage. You can see like a percentage of completion, correct?
Yeah.
Why is it that every game I've ever beat, if there's a campaign, I'll beat the game, I'll sit through the end credits, I'll have a feeling of a euphoric feeling where I'm getting some endorphins injected into my brain. I'm like, I beat that game, onto my next one. I go to the main menu and the percentage is like 13.
Because like, you're still on the title screen, bitch.
But is that not
loading
the truth?
The game. I did it.
Is that not the truth? Isn't that always this like the situation? And I know it accounts for like the all of the trophies you can get and all the hidden shit.
Yeah, for the completists.
Yeah, all of the different, like maybe you have to beat it on every single difficulty level to get the 100%. But why can't we have like a campaign percentage? Like, let me know how far I am in the campaign. And I understand the argument that it's maybe kind of like a movie where like if you're sitting in a movie theater watching a movie and you look at your watch, it's not a good movie. Type of thing. However, when you're playing a 35-hour game like The Last of Us 2, for some reason, like every time I put the controller down and go to bed, I kind of just want to know how far I am. I kind of want to know where I am in the quest.
So is that saying that you're looking at your watch during the movie?
No.
During the game?
In this case, the game?
During the game. I'll say it like this. The game is brutal. I mean, so it's a beautiful game. It's one of the most technologically advanced cinematic presentations I've ever seen in a video game so far. Last night, I actually played through a couple sequences that were just beautiful in their presentation. Like they, it felt like I was watching and playing a movie. It was that great. However, the brutality, bleakness, and darkness of this story and this game are
holy shit.
Wait, well, which dog was that?
That was definitely not Izzy. Yeah. Izzy's too tired to bark.
Sorry, man, you just triggered me.
Oh no,
bleak, dark.
Yeah, the fucking attack dogs are coming.
And I'm in no way referring to any of the controversy around this game. I'm just referring to the fact of how dark and how bleak this game really is in terms of like the situations that you go through and what you're asked to do. I have a couple gripes here and there about the game, but they're small things like the normal things people complain about first person or third person campaigns, which is stuff like hey, there might have been too many quick time moments for my liking, like that type of thing.
But which nuts, because that just, I don't know, for me that's always enhanced the experience. Yeah. Like with God of War, I mean, you've played it, like those cutscenes are some of the best parts of the game, which
if done well, they're amazing. But I mean, it's my pick of the week this week because I'm having an amazing time playing it, but I literally, instead of what I usually do when I play these games, especially a game like this, is I turn the lights out.
You beat me to it.
At least a little bit.
I was just going to say, take your pants off.
I may pour myself a drink. I get comfortable on the couch and I just kind of try to dive in and be all encompassed by the game. However, with this one, last night was the first time I'm like, you know what? I'm leaving the lights on. And I stood up and played the game just because I wanted to get through like a certain number of parts that I knew were coming up that were going to be kind of intense. But I mean, I'm giving it a great review, but it makes my heart pound. It makes me full of anxiety. I had to make sure I had at least a half hour to an hour after playing the game before I went to bed to kind of wind down from it kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I haven't gotten through it. Here's my gripe with the game is that I would love to kind of take it even slower than I'm taking it. I am taking it quite slow because I like to explore and loot and kind of get everything I can. However, I want to get through this game right away and just get it over with. That's my only gripe with the game is because I know I need to finish it, but I just kind of want to get it over with and move on to the next thing because I kind of want to go and I want to start reading all those spoiler videos I've been seeing and all those controversial videos. And I want to see why everyone is hating on the game and why everyone is kind of talking shit about it. But yeah.
Is there some negative blowback?
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Really?
The lead character is a lesbian, which, you know, that's so 2002, you know, like, come on, lesbians, get with the times. I'm glad you brought it up, Chewy, because I wanted to see, you know, I have Game Informer magazine, so, you know, I'm kept in the know. All right. So, and I just wanted to see if Chewy was way off base with his review of the game, but if you let me be so kind, The Last of Us Part Two, A Perfect Circle. The game is the next chapter in the story of Ellie and Joel. Who are those guys? No, I'm kidding. But it gave it a 10 out of 10. I mean,
insane reviews from the people.
Here is what it actually says, like for the final review of this game. The Last of Us Part 2 is a monumental achievement in video game storytelling. I mean, joking aside, Game Informer, I think I've maybe seen 20 perfect 10s in, I don't know how long I've been playing video games for or how long this magazine's been out. But, like, you're talking God of War, Uncharted series. The game's a 10
Burger
out of 10.
Time, Centipede, Millipede, Defender. Yeah. The classics.
That was actually, those games were out before any of these magazines existed. So.
Yeah.
Before Prince. I mean, I have to get the game. Chewy hasn't, I mean, okay, well, you're kind of slapping it around a little bit, saying you want to finish it.
Not really. I mean, it's not a knock on the game. It's a knock on my own situation right now with everything going on in the world politically, everything going on in the world with this common cold that's going around, everything going on in the world, just with everything else. On top of the fact that I've kind of reached an age where And Doom, I don't think I told you this yet, but I tried that Resident Evil 2 remake or Resident Evil 3 remake, the demo that popped out. And I stopped it halfway through because I was too fucking scared.
Yeah, that's like, crazy.
Like,
it's bad.
Like, I got to a point where like I couldn't walk around the next corner of
it's terrifying. And you only get 6 bullets and it takes 7 to kill people. You're like, what the fuck is this? Well, no, it's insane. Fully recommend.
That'll kick me off into my last comment about The Last of Us 2 so far. And that is the fact that it is a true survival horror game in the strictest sense of the definition, where you only have a specific amount of items. You can only do so much crafting. And I have found myself jumping into a situation where I have like 1 bullet for this gun, 1 bullet for my rifle, an arrow, and like a rock, and I'm looking at like 20
time to start fucking cracking skulls.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah. Come get some.
And I'm looking at like
25. Isn't that right, Dwayne Johnson?
And I'm looking at like 25 baddies in front of me. But the Three Toes, I'll have to edit that out.
Edit it.
Three Toes. The one thing I want to let you know is that it does a beautiful job of save points. So let's say I'm looking at 15. Baddies in front of me that I have to take out. I can take out 2 or 3 of them. The fourth will come and like pull my throat out, and then it'll start me right there after I took out those 3 until like I take out another 2 or 3, and then it'll keep saving for you through that instance instead of being really brutal about it and kind of having you start the whole situation again.
That's awesome.
But it's a beautifully designed game. That's all I have to say.
Well, so I have purchased it. I have not loaded it. Yes, sir. Goes in this weekend.
Congrats.
So hold off for another couple of years, and I'll tell you guys how the title screen went, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Well, before we move on, I do have to just – because I know Chewie's a big fan of Warner Brothers. I have this news here, which, again, I didn't know that AT&T owned Warner Brothers, but apparently – they are looking to sell their gaming division, which really bums me out in the sense that, so it's Rocksteady, which did all the Batman, like Arkham games, which I've played them all, beat them all. NetherRealm Studios, which created, Mortal Kombat, the biggest fighting game in the world.
Yeah.
And TT Games, which created all the Lego games. So a lot of people are nervous that if they sell, these studios could, I don't know if NetherRealm will ever go away, hopefully not, but that we're not going to get any more like bitching new games from them because just trying to like liquidate kind of sucks. Yeah, I was pretty bummed about that.
But I would think now would be the time to have a game studio, I would think. And we'll talk about that more later.
Well, Warner Brothers is being shaken up. I mean, like with HBO Go and stuff. So I have HBO Go, HBO Max because I get it free through AT&T. I've been watching the shit out of Tom and Jerry cartoons with the kids, because they're all up there, watching a whole bunch of stuff on HBO Max. Like they have a pretty wide selection of movies up there, and they're all in their proper aspect ratio, unlike like HBO Go. I'm giving that a positive review so far. But then again, I'm just pretty much watching Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Outstanding.
Which hold up like crazy.
So I'm assuming you showed them the Zoot Suit Tom and Jerry on repeat, because that's one of the greatest cartoons of all time. You don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I do, actually.
We did watch that one, but we've been mostly watching the Spike and Tykes. That's my boy.
Is you is or is you ain't my baby.
Oh, yeah, and they have all the Looney Tunes on there, too.
I've been watching a lot of Looney Tunes with the kid on
DVD. So you have the Max too, man?
Do not.
DVD. He's watching them on DVD. He has to physically put a disc.
Let's just chug this train right along.
Okay. Who's going next?
So let's watch as Three Toes pulls this pick of the week out of his navel.
All right. I have so many, but I'll just narrow it down. This one comes to me, which I'm forwarding to you and all of our listeners, from Raider Rider's brother. I jumped in on a Zoom call with them, hung out just for a couple minutes, and he said, Three Toes, have you heard of this YouTube channel? And I'm like, I have not. Have you guys heard of a YouTube channel? One of the main shows on it is called the Manitowoc Minute. Manitowoc being a city up in Wisconsin. Okay, so that's Google worthy, or you just pull up this guy's channel. His name is Charlie Behrens,
B-R-E-B-E-R-E-N-S. B-E-R-E-N-S, Behrens. Or you just look up the Manitowoc Minute. It'll get you there. It's a guy, he's a comedian up in Wisconsin, and he does this really, really solid northern Wisconsin meets kind of Fargo-ish accent, which in itself is fine. You can play that joke for a while. But he has this epic, insane comic timing. And the Manitowoc Minute is just like a three-minute Wisconsin-centric news show he does with hilarious editing, hilarious bits. And then he just does a lot of funny videos. He's amazing. It's a rabbit hole that I've spent a lot of time on. My clicks to pick from it, if you go in, there's some recent ones. He does a cooking show because the Wisconsin State Fair is canceled. So he teaches you how to deep fry a bunch of stuff. And he does a commencement speech for all the kids who didn't have graduations. Those are two really, really good ones. He's hilarious. Hilarious. So
I have just subscribed.
Do it. He's amazing. His timing is, it's bananas. So check that out. I feel like, yeah, a lot of YouTube stuff lately. I don't know, if you saw the Nat's What I Reckon, his most recent one. He did a metal vodka sauce cooking show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's a point in there where he's like, and then you have to shred up some cheese. And then he starts playing this metal guitar riff and the cheese is just shredded. Hilarious. Yeah. So, and the other thing, this is this obvious really these days. It's, you can't kind of escape it. But it really does worth a shout out is Disney Plus Hamilton.
Is it good?
I really like it a lot. Now, I'm also easy and I jump on any type of bandwagon. I caught up in it. I had heard the soundtrack. I've had a chance to actually see it, which was incredible. It's hard to translate live stage to a home audience because it's definitely not the same. There's no question about it. And watching a musical takes a fair amount of like self-control and focus, so much so that I've only watched bits and pieces of it as I've gone.
Okay.
Because it's like 12 hours. But it's really, really epic in how fast they tell stories and how dense the lines are. And it's also some really, really good songs. So it is. It's awesome. It's great. I don't think I would say get Disney Plus for it unless you were just really a big musical nerd, because then you'd have to. And I do know people who have. But otherwise, if you have it, yeah, throw it on. There's the first three or four songs are some of the best on there. And it gives you kind of a vibe for what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's one that I do plan on rewatching a lot because he's so dense in his writing that I think there's a ton to be picked up every time of the actual story. So it's pretty special. And it's one of those rare things that because of the COVID, we're getting a chance to see something that was supposed to be in the theaters, wasn't even supposed to release for another year. And we're getting a chance to see it in our home environment. I think it's pretty great. I mean, if you have even a slight interest in musicals, if not, it's not going to be your thing. But anybody who's kind of liked some of the biggies that have been out over the years, the Les Mis's, Miss Saigon's, Phantom of the Opera, that kind of stuff. I think it has a really wide appeal. And then the musical styling and the some of these songs are just bonkers. Like, I was so into it watching it. I definitely say turn it up, whatever TV you have, loudest TV, turn it up. I was watching it and I was clapping at set breaks. I was clapping at song breaks. I was laughing out loud, got a little misty eyed during a couple songs. It's amazing.
When you say he, in terms of the writing, you're talking
Lin-Manuel.
About
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Did you hear the rumor that with cancel culture going on, they're tying this into cancel culture? I really think it's kind of Disney kind of planning ahead, but they may be taking the Hall of Presidents at Walt Disney and completely revamping it. And they've handed it. The rumor is they've handed the reins over to Lin-Manuel Miranda and Weird Al.
To
take the Hall of Presidents and kind of reimagine it and rewrite it so that it's something that kids actually kind of want to go in and have fun with. So
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great, because I did that as a kid and I remember it when I was like six, seeing that thing and being like, oh, this is boring. And now it's still there.
Yeah.
And we were there a couple years ago. I was like, not real any interest. If they can jazz that up a little bit and get some, I mean, because that's really, he took the subject, which could be painfully boring, and found ways to interject excitement, different music styles to really get you into the story. If they could do that with the Hall of Presidents, it's that or just rip it to the ground and give me another Minions roller coaster. Because I think it's an awesome idea. And Weird Al, his relationship is very interesting, because I think, did you bounce me some of the Hamilton stuff? Where he did the Hamilton polka, which is hilarious once you know the Hamilton stuff. And then they just recently on his channel released his polka, which is like an 8-10 minute montage of songs with footage from the actual Hamilton show, edited perfectly. Even if you don't, if you guys don't even, if anybody out there doesn't even care about Hamilton, go watch the
a Weird Al mix with the Hamilton folks because it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, nice.
Awesome.
Cool. I'll see you in Doom.
Hit me, boys.
Okay. So you guys better get ready for this pick of the week. I love listening to Doom's pick of the week almost as much as Anakin loves sand.
Ouch.
And did you hear Hayden Christensen? He's casted in the Obi-Wan series officially as a main character.
Get out of town.
With the popularity of the Clone Wars, they said they needed to pull Anakin Skywalker and or Vader into the Obi-Wan series. But I digress. Go on, Doom, with your pick of the week. Sorry to
I don't know how I feel about you even mentioning Anakin Skywalker in anything I do, but
Masa Misa, neither.
I kind of have two picks of the week. Actually, my one pick of the week is not really a pick, just I don't know how we haven't talked about the fucking fact that they're erasing the last three Star Wars movies.
Yeah, like, that's the rumor, yeah.
It's almost a lock now. I mean,
what are you guys talking about? Dude, Chewie made some comment about this too with
No, it's a fact at this point.
Yeah, it's a fact.
It's all right, it's not a fact, but 99% sure Kathleen Kennedy is going to be gone by 2022 and they're going to start the real three Star Wars movies that are going to follow the
Return of the Jedi.
What?
Yeah. So it's going to be 7, 8, 9 in it. So I don't know. I was reading some article. It's like a force apparition or some bullshit where the three movies that we just saw were in their own universe.
No multiverse. God, I hate multiverses.
Yeah. Well, Doom, you finished the Clone Wars, right?
Holy fuck. I don't know if we didn't talk about this or not. The Clone Wars final season, it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen Star Wars related.
Come on.
Undoubtedly. Like,
nice.
It was the four episode arc at the end. Just go watch it. Even if you've never
jump in, can you jump into the whole
series? It's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, I think you can. Yes, for this, because I mean, you don't know who some of the characters are, but you know, this is tying into A New Hope, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you know the premise of Star Wars well enough to, you can, the last four episodes, it's like a nerd boner it's unhealthy.
And it's a four-parter?
How long you hold it for.
It's a four-parter?
Yeah, the last four episodes kind of get there. It is.
It's an animated movie.
It's a two-hour animated movie.
Come on. I'll take that any day of the week.
And they just actually released from the Clone Wars show, I think it was like the first couple episodes with Rex. He's one of the clone troopers. They introduced this new group of guys called the Bad Batch, and they're like, I don't want to say mutant clone troopers, but they don't look like any of the other guys. Like, one's really big, one's really skinny. They're like the offshoots, but they're really good at what they do, so they're called the Bad Batch, and now that is being optioned at Disney+. They're going to get their own show coming, I think, next year.
You think it's a good move?
Yeah. I loved them. I'm like, I'll watch more of these guys. It's like, that's Disney's awesome. Fucking yeah. In here, man.
Well, Doom, so when you watch that, How much did they dive into that veil of the force idea? Because that's the idea, I guess, that they were going to use to kind of like, it's like a loophole where they can say what happened in those other three movies didn't happen or happened in like a alternate universe kind of thing.
You know what? I didn't dive too deep. It's like Three Toes are saying, I heard multiverse and I was like, fuck. Like, I don't want this, but those movies were bad enough for me to be on board. So, yeah. You know what? Well, that's what it takes.
Well, what's your thought on – so a lot of people will say that's too complicated for a mainstream audience to understand. But
Just do it like they did with Terminator.
Yeah.
Just tell people that they didn't exist.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I bought it, and then when I watched the newest Terminator, I had fun, and I was like, fuck. Terminator 3, what?
They do that all the time. They do that with the Halloween reboots.
Wait, did you watch that latest Terminator?
Yes, I did.
Was it a good time?
It was fun. It was absolutely fun. I mean, it got good reviews.
I'm getting like, a head shake from
you didn't
Three
like
Toes.
It, Three Toes? I think
I had a hard time making it through it.
Compared Genesis to Terminator and 3 and 4, I think it was way better than all those.
Yep. No, I think it had... Yeah, it was better than those, but I had our time.
I told the wife a B- for me. Like it was, I thought it was, you know, a popcorn action flick.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, and it's the same old story of that the CGI these days is, it's so good, but it's so overused that when you watch a CGI action scene, it can really, it can just blend into the tapestry of every other CGI action scene we've ever seen. And so that's
Michael
why.
Bay. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So that's why like when, and I mean, we've talked about Marvel movies till the cows come home, but really they find this really amazing way to give us character stories, details, really moments that are not reliant on it. So that when you do get to those things, you're like, this is epic. This is great. But that's not that easy to do. And so that's honestly a main dig I would have against New Terminator and a lot of movies in its same ilk.
Yeah, it's just the bane of just new technology. People are just like, oh, it's a toy I'm going to use for
it. It is the bane of new technology.
okay, all right, well, you see how far down the rabbit hole we went, Chewie?
Because
you said Anakin fucking Skywalker.
I love rabbit holes.
My pick of the week is Psych 2, the movie, Lassie Come Home.
Did it come out?
It came out Wednesday, yesterday.
Wait, what?
What?
So.
Where?
Did you just have a stroke?
Peacock.
Is it a real thing?
It's a real thing. So me and the wife, Psych is absolutely, it's one of our top five shows of all time. Like, wow. Undoubtedly.
Wow.
So we love the show. We've watched all the episodes. I don't know how many times, all 8 seasons. It's just one of like, I don't know if you guys have shows, like it's a safe show. Like no matter what mood you're in, you pop a show on and you just feel comfortable like you're part of that family. And Psych is that for us. And ironically, we just got back into it like 2 months ago. And I remember it was like 2 weeks ago. The wife comes running down the stairs screaming. She's like, oh, shit. Psych's coming out with another movie. I, first of all, did not know they did the first movie. I remember hearing it, but I never really checked it out.
I was going to ask you.
We did. We watched the first Psych movie, A-plus film. I mean,
nice.
Good time. I mean, it's a made-for-TV movie on USA, but great movie. This one was an A++. It was a love letter to the show. It's an hour and 28 minutes. It's flawless execution by every one of the cast members. And the truth is, it's funny you said, somebody asked if I had a stroke and if it was a real thing. So Lassie, who's the head detective from the show, he looks like the guy from Friends. And I always think it is him, but it's not. Matthew
McConaughey?
No, from Friends, man.
Chandler Bing.
Him. Looks just like him. He actually ended up having a stroke, like a severe, massive stroke in 2017. And in the movie, his character gets shot and has a stroke. So he's recovering, but it's like crazy. The end, I cried like a bitch.
Wow.
I mean, but it's about him recovering from a stroke and the guy still can't move half his body. And
isn't this, I'm like, wow, they comedy? Tied this.
It's comedy. It's funny the whole time, except the end, it's very heartwarming. And, you know, the waterworks hit a little bit. Okay, don't judge me, Three Toes.
There's no judging me. I think it's amazing they even made the movie, because I know there was a movie from the original series, which I kind of wanted to just jump in and check out. But this new one, that's a big deal, because it's been off the air for a while.
Well, so ended in 2014, 2017, I think, or maybe it was 2016, they did the first Psych movie, and then they just dropped a second one. And on that note, Peacock, another streaming service. Yeah.
That you signed up for?
It's free. And that's the only way
you
can watch that movie.
Comcast, right?
Yes. If you have Comcast, the streaming service Peacock is free, which is great, because I would be goddamned if I wanted to pay another $5 a month or $10 a month for a streaming service.
Well, pump the brakes there. We're about to talk about that. Should we send it into the topic du jour?
Topic du jour.
Yeah, let's dive in.
All right. So that's the topic. So the topic of the day is, we do typically spend a lot of time about new movies, new releases, movies that have made it from the theaters onto DVD, but movies are a big part of what we circle around. We're not going to get much of that. I mean, we can talk about Trolls World Tour, Scoob.
Oh, Troll 4.
And
that's a great movie.
I think those are literally the only two. I'd be happy to talk about Capone all day long.
No.
I poop my pants. So there's not much.
Really quick, tell me he doesn't say that in the movie.
No, he doesn't. He does that. So this is...
I know he shits himself, but he just
multiple
acknowledge
times
it.
He poops his pants. This is Tom Hardy, one of the greatest actors of our age. Wow, it's terrible. So
it has to be better than Travolta in that Fred Durst movie.
No, the Fanatic or Fanatic thing?
Yeah,
No, that sounds amazing. The opening, you described the opening 12 minutes of it. I've got to see it.
I have to poop.
It's bad. So, all right. So we're not going to get a lot of new movies. It's just a fact. And honestly, and I'm not going to,
Tenet, there's a lot of people out there saying it's not going to happen because they keep bumping it.
Not going to happen in what regards?
They're not going to release it. Tenet, but most theaters have been holding on to the fact that they'll at least have Tenet and it'll make some money, but it keeps getting bumped kind of along with theaters reopening. A lot of people are like, it's just not going to happen. And if that movie doesn't come out, there's almost nothing. That and Mulan are like the only two new releases that they had coming. And then some cheesy road rage movie with Gladiator guy.
Russell, you know, Tenant is going to be used as a litmus test. That's their canary in the coal mine. Like, that's their testing the waters.
And I'm hoping it stays that way. But all right, again, on point. So we don't have that. So where do we focus that nerd energy? What do we turn to? I mean, I think we've already started about streaming services, video games, other. So, and it's we're in it now, but honestly, in I think 6 months, we're going to be feeling it even more. Like, so where is it we're funneling that nerd energy? Yeah. Go.
I need to start this off with a gripe that I have. I saw a trailer for a TV show that I wanted to watch. I mean, speaking of like ways to kind of get us through this whole quarantine, this all this bullshit without movie theaters, a TV show that looked very cinematic in its presentation. It stars Chris Evans and Michelle Dockery, and it's called Defending Jacob, and it's on Apple TV. I went to my TV to download the app. It's not available. Went to this to download the app, not available. Apple TV Plus or whatever the fuck they're calling it needs to get their shit straight, because the only way I can watch it is if I buy one of those stupid little boxes and connect
there's
to
my an
TV.
App now.
It's not on my TV.
It's not on a TV, but if it's, I know it's weird. You have to have like a Roku to get the app. It's it's fucking nuts.
Is it available on Fire Stick? It probably is.
I don't know. It probably.
Yeah. So go out and spend the $9 for one of these streaming sticks, because you're still going to have to pay them, what, $100 a month to get
it. It's $5 a month.
It's $5 a month for Apple TV.
The cheapest streaming service out there is Apple TV.
Wow, and I have one of those Apple boxes. But I don't know what's on there.
It's that. There's that news anchor one with Jennifer Aniston. Uh-huh. Jason Momoa. He's on the new one. I don't know what it's about, though.
It's a lot of very sterile looking stuff, like a lot of like very like safe looking stuff, but check out the trailer for Defending Jacob.
It does look good. That's why we got the service.
And it stars the kid from like It and stuff like that. He's probably a pretty popular actor. I have seen pictures from it, but it looks like a drama, isn't it?
Yeah. And I love Michelle Dockery, because my wife and I watched the show not too long ago called I don't even remember what it's called. We watched some show with her in it, and we kind of fell in love with her. And then the show got canceled after the second.
Was it where she
season.
Was like a?
She was a recovering addict who fell in love with a hitman.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was really kind of soap opera-y, but then would get hyper violent at times. And it was, I think, it was on USA or FXXXXX or whatever, one of those channels.
Jesus.
The adult version of FX. Wow.
Yeah. But to answer your question, Three Toes. Getting me through this stuff is video games. However, also getting me through this stuff is a lot of horror. And and
what the fuck, Chewy?
And I am down with you on horror.
And you know what I just subscribed to?
Did you go Shudder?
Shudder.
Welcome to my world. It's worth it. You're gonna love it. You jump on board and just dig up any amount of stuff out there with Joe Bob, you're gonna have a good time, because he watches some of those fucked up movies and he's hilarious and smart. Welcome.
Yeah, I was excited to see like some new releases coming straight to Shudder now that will not be going to theaters. So I'm like, will be my way to kind of see that stuff without seeing it in the theater.
Quite a bit of original horror. I like it honestly, and the price of it. And I'm still paying the shitty monthly price, and it's like I go down to the rental cost. Like if I watch more than two movies a month, I've kind of paid it off. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and on that same note, did you hear about the Halloween movie that they're postponing it a year because they want a theater release?
Yeah. And there's John Carpenter was the first one to break the news. It's the Blumhouse Halloween 2, which honestly, I the first one was fine in the pantheon of all the Halloween movies. It was okay. It wasn't great, but it's fine. It had some good ideas. So I'm not that all in. They're moving it a year to next October. Tricky. They did get some like stuff in the theaters. They're like, we'll give you IMAX, we'll give you this. And I mean, they're by no means the first. I mean, most movies have been dumped to next year, so it is what it is, but it's a little disappointing.
Yeah. Well, you know, going back to episode 28 of our podcast was when and how will we return to our local movie theaters?
Yeah.
We won't.
I'm pulling up Fandango on a regular basis, and I I mean, we're based out of Illinois. We're in phase four, but theaters are not. And now the rest of the country is bouncing back. So we're bound to bounce back. So it's dire.
Yeah. This year is a no go. There's no way we're opening theaters this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying fall and winter is going to be worse. So yeah, I'm going to watch fucking Black Widow on my fucking TV. Hopefully.
Do you think they're going to release the Black Widow movie? Something is tent pole as that movie, no pun intended.
It's not really a pun. It's more of a dick joke.
Oh yeah. no dick intended. Do you think they're going to be releasing something as big as that? Because they're not going to release Tenant to TV.
No, they won't. But that one, there was a fair amount of rumors that Disney would scoop it up and throw it down on their channel, and it would make a ton of sense. And it would almost make a ton of sense across the boards in terms of it's like a standalone movie. But it's a standalone movie in the Marvelverse where we haven't had anything for a long time. So it will put butts in seats. And if everybody else can wait another year, I don't see any reason why they won't. But I still think it would be a brilliant, brilliant move for Disney Plus.
I just feel like, yeah, I mean, you have a lot of people not on the Disney Plus train. I mean, right. I'm not saying you're going to make billions from one movie, but you would get you got to be thinking millions of subscribers to Disney Plus just to watch that movie.
Oh, they would flock. I mean, it would be a coup. And that's, I think actually Hamilton is doing good for them in that regards. So when that kind of falls off, like what's next? I don't think we're getting next season Mandalorian until next year or this year.
I don't know.
Well, if they time it properly, if they could time a digital drop of the Black Widow movie in good timing with, let's say, the other three Marvel shows that are dropping.
Oh yeah,
that could cause a surge of people to. So, if you subscribe to a service for one movie, you'll watch the movie and cancel the service.
Or like me, you'll forget to cancel and stay on service for the next 12 years. They know that.
But if you subscribe to a movie, if you subscribe, let's say for the continuing saga of the MCU, and you have a movie dropping, and then a TV show dropping, and then another TV show dropping, and then the Mandalorian 2 dropping, and if Disney can keep that going, it could be a way to kind of like at least throw the hook out into the water. But
ton of money.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part. So with the question, it really does. So streaming is obviously where people are funneling a lot of their time and attention. But you guys in this call have named like two or three different services. Like that's so we've already talked about. So we've got HBO Max.
That's Peacock. Brand new. Peacock's brand new. Disney Plus newish.
Apple. Shutter. We haven't messed around with
Apple
Shutter.
TV.
So there's, I mean,
it's five.
That gets back to how many services are people going to kind of go into and how many they're going to keep. But I do think that's where things are at. I was starting to lose faith. I got a bunch of services. I'm like, it's kind of getting boring. However, and this is a good segue into a couple drops in the past 2 weeks, there were announcements on some really big nerd shows that I'm like, okay, bring me back. It's going to give me something to really deep dive into and it's going to give me a lot of episodes. So I don't know if you guys heard, but Umbrella Academy season 2 is dropping at the end
of this
month.
Cannot wait. And you better be talking about Boys season 2.
And Boys season 2, I'm good bad. I'm bad because they announced it. I'm like, fuck, I got to wait how many months? It's basically right before Thanksgiving, November 24th.
Yeah.
So that will, I mean, that could be 12% as good as season 1 of The Boys, and it'll be the best show on TV. I'm going to actually rewatch all of season 1 before it because it was so fucking good.
So fucking good.
So fucking good. I might actually try to rewatch all of Umbrella Academy season 1 as well because I really enjoyed it.
I love season 1 of that show. Like, I was in, man.
Yep. Shui, you haven't seen that yet, have you?
I have not seen Umbrella Academy. I started it, and then I think I got pulled in something else.
So that's exactly it, Doom. Those were the two that dropped in the past couple of weeks. It's like,
can't wait.
That is great. Now, the other thing is that, I would say, there was something that dropped this last week that we haven't talked about. I don't think any of us has watched yet, and it really surprises me, because the other thing is really where we can funnel some of our movie attention is made for streaming service movies, and sometimes they get some decent stuff. They get some decent budgets. They get some decent actors, directors. I find that Netflix ones, even the big scale ones that I've seen, they're all fine, but they're kind of forgettable actioners so far. But there was one that just came out last week that's got Charlize Theron in a...
Oh, The Old Guard?
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know why I haven't watched it yet. That's psychotic, but it's getting mixed reviews, but some of them are like, dude, if you're really...
And that's the same. You know what? You say that. I haven't watched that Extraction with Chris Hemsworth.
I had a really fun time with it, and I couldn't tell you two scenes out of it anymore because it's nonstop shooting. It's got some very creative direction in there, some really cool camera
work. They're putting
work.
Him up next to a Wick, man.
It's...
It's you like can't
a,
do that
it's like
anyone.
A it's like a C plus Wick, which is fine because it's Wick. Nobody can do Wick well, but it does do some things very, very cool. There's a car chase scene where
it's like John Wick 3 was, which was a C plus.
Correct. They think along. Well, maybe John Wick 4. So it was fine. But you know, I watched the Five Bloods movie, and I found that was it's all over the boards with what Spike Lee did with it. But it's a pretty great flick. Oh, I forgot the one of the main actors' names is, he definitely deserves an Oscar for it. His name just jumped into my head. Delroy Lindo. He's
Dolph Lundgren.
That's it. Oh, I just threw in, I'm going to watch all the Expendables movies.
Nice.
As I threw it in.
Have fun with that.
They're terrible.
Oh, no. The terrible, first two are good terrible.
No, they're terrible, but I just need it. I need a break.
Come on. So. They're like the Fast and Furious. They're good because they are bad.
They're like a C-minus Fast and Furious.
But then right. Expendables 3 was just fucking bad because it was bad.
Of course, because it was PG-13. So, yeah. The movies thing is the biggie. But yeah, so are you guys going to watch the new Charlize movie? I'm definitely going to.
Probably at some point, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Do you think there's a room of lizard people? You know, everyone talks about.
Yeah, I mean, we know there is. You know,
everyone talks about
my pants. What
the lizard people that are running the world or something or running the country? Do you think there's a room of lizard people that through COVID-19 out there that are running all the streaming services? Like there's a lizard representative from every streaming service that got in a room and said, we will put COVID-19 out there and then everyone will be trapped at home and they will have to subscribe to all of our services.
Doom. Yeah. I think Chewie went psychotic on us. So we just got to play along. I'm going to call an ambulance. Okay.
That is a very valid point. I think the fake news has something to do with it. We're all good. What the hell's going on? I'm down for some conspiracy right now because there's no way this world is reality. We're definitely not in a reality anymore. So sure.
There is a glitch in the fucking matrix.
Yeah, did you see that cat? Now, was it a cat or was it the same cat? I don't know. I've been taking all these blue pills.
Please don't cancel me.
Wait, did they finish filming Matrix 17? God, I hope so.
No, I don't think so. I think they're pushing that. Well, either that or Wick. One of them got moved a full year.
Yeah, Wick, I'm sure. I don't think they were starting that one yet. But
Bill and Ted 3 got moved.
What?
Yeah. They're
Now to me that's a streaming movie. There's
that could be a streaming movie. Yeah, it could be a streaming
Netflix should buy that shit.
Yeah, that could be on
420 that all day long.
Yeah. That could be on what was that streaming? Crackle. Just put that straight to Crackle.
I got one more thing for you, and I have to bring it up because this is something I have Googled like a crazy person every other week for 7-9 years now, 8 years. So we got video games, biggie. We've got streaming services with streaming movies and streaming TV shows, biggies, music, YouTube. We also have something which is called books. Print is dead. But
wait, those exist?
But everybody talks about a big butt, Simone. Let's talk about your big butt. But the sequel to Ready Player One has been announced and will drop. God. This year, Ready Player 2 drops. Ooh, fuck. It's the same week as The Boys. So it drops in the last week of November.
Wait, the movie drops?
No, the book.
The book.
Damn it, stay with me.
I know I was joking about them not existing, but they do, in fact, exist, though, Chewie.
So Ernie Cline has taken his sweet bippy time coming up with a sequel. Like, it's been 8 years, I think, and I have Googled it every day. So I'm very excited about that. I think he took his time because I think there's probably a little bit of blowback for Armada. We talked about it years ago where it was more than too much of stealing from Last Starfighter. Peppered with a lot of just
his
references.
Second book,
yeah, Armada. It was
Armada sucked.
It was a disappointing.
It was,
and so the fact that he's taken this long, I'm just hoping because, and honestly, I when I read the blurb on one of these nerd sites, like finally we got a release date, finally it's coming out. Like, and this person said one of their favorite all time reading experiences was reading Ready Player One, and I have to agree that reading that, and we talked about this on the earliest incarnation of our previous podcast, was so fucking good.
Yeah.
That it's another one of those. If he can capture a little bit of that lightning back in a bottle and get us back into that world, I'm ready. So I'm excited about that.
I won't experience that until Will Wheaton does his audiobook.
Good man. He played it well in the first one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. All right.
So to tie a bow on this, I mean, there wasn't like a specific question we were asking. We were just trying to figure out how we're going to get our fix. Yep. Or how we are getting our fix without movie theaters being there. And it kind of stinks. The
lizard people streaming services.
Yeah. Yeah. But what stinks about the whole situation is the fact that, like, I was just thinking to myself today, scheduling this podcast recording, is that I can't wait to just get in the same room with you guys again. And right? I can't wait to, like, and I can't wait to, like, go to a movie theater again and grab a bite to eat before we see the flick, or grab a drink, or just do that. So it's a sad conversation. I guess I'll just go play some more Last of Us 2.
Yeah, because that's not
something to really talk to you about.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Here's a little girl and her best friend. Hey, things are going
just,
great.
Just have Hurt by Johnny Cash on loop in the background playing. You'll be fine.
Okay, so let's switch over real quick to the fast food field file. I have one. If you guys don't have one, I have one too. You do?
I told the wife about our last one, and she was okay. We were eating Buona Beef last night or two nights. Really? And I was like, dude, this stuff is owning. Nice. But I want to hear both ears.
Look, I just hearing the name of it made me feel unhealthy. Eating it, I only ate half of it, and I was ready. I was ready to shake hands with
Jesus. Use the bathroom.
No. Like I was gonna leave a text message note to my wife to say I love my child, because this is how I'm going out. It is called the grilled cheese burrito at Taco Bell.
Oh, I saw the commercial.
What are you talking about?
It is.
I'm the Taco Bell guy. What are you talking about?
It is meat, cheese, fucking tortillas, everything in the burrito, and then they take like two layers of melted cheese on top of the burrito and then like grill it. So it's like 4 pounds of cheese. I'm telling you, I ate half of this burrito and I was like starting to get neck and chest pains. I'm like, you know what? It was good though. I mean, I will say I was not upset about how that burrito tasted.
What was your sauce choice? Fire?
No sauce. I'm telling you, Three Toes, there's literally nothing else you could put in this fucking thing. Like, there was shit shooting out of the burrito. Sour cream and cheese. Flames.
I'm the asshole that goes through the drive-thru and they say, do you want any sauce with that? I'm like, I would like 17 packets, and I'm going to sit
I want the Black Death sauce, please.
Dude, it sounds amazing. I have to have one, but I tell you, every time I've had Taco Bell in the past decade, I have regretted it 17 seconds later. I went the next week, but boy, oh boy, this sounds like it's going to be a...
Eat some high fiber prior. So just let it like ease its way on out there. So
I'll get some McDonald's on the way.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you got it. Some nice. Chicken nugs.
So the grilled cheese burrito.
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. So my fast food field file is something that you don't get at a fast food store, but, well, you technically you do. So I love a good breakfast sandwich. I know, Doom, you do. Yes. I'm assuming Three Toes does.
Nope. I do too.
Yeah,
I got them
for you. Thanks. And, you know, with, you know, being locked down, you know, I don't have as many opportunities to say, grab myself a breakfast sandwich from, like, let's say a Mickey D's or a Burger King or those god awful breakfast sandwiches from Wendy's. But I was
so much hate.
I was walking through Costco and just kind of like browsing through the aisles with my mask on, of course, good staying man. 6 feet away from everyone as I was walking through. And I saw this box called Red's Eggwich. And what it was it's two egg patties with a sausage patty in between of them. And I thought, that's great. You know, less carbs, whatever. I get them home and I make one. And what you do is you pop it in the microwave and then you eat it. Well, I did that. I'm like, you know what? You know what would make this even better? A freaking English muffin. Had some English muffins. You pop it in the microwave. You toast up an English muffin. And it was one of the most – I put some hot sauce on it. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever made for myself to this day in my life. It was that delicious. And it solves that issue of – I'm sure you guys have gotten frozen breakfast sandwiches before in the past, right?
Of course.
Absolutely.
What happens to the bread? Like, you wrap it up in a moist paper towel or whatever they say, or you flip it upside down and, I don't know, slap some shit on it. You follow the stupid instructions they got on there, and the bread always ends up being like either rock hard or loosey-goosey.
Or it's like a fucking soggy turd.
It's because those like seven ingredients don't ever equal out at the same temperature, don't cook the right same way.
Yeah.
Not an ideal method of cooking.
Oh, yeah. So the point of my story is I went to Costco because I burned through a box of them. I went to Costco again.
This morning.
And I went to find them, and the guy said they've already sold out through like two shipments of them because they're so popular. I just have to promote these things. I wish they were a sponsor for the podcast because I would talk about them every single time. Reds, R-E-D-S, Eggwich. If you go to Costco, keep your eye out for them.
Reds, send us some free stuff.
Yeah, we'll take it. If they don't, I'm going to hook you up with a little life hack. Making a breakfast sandwich at home, not terribly difficult. Throw an egg in a skillet. Throw some cheese on top of it. Throw that English muffin or bagel and tie it into the toaster. You are
Whoa. You're saying shit like skillet and oven, and that sounds to me like there's some
work. I'm telling you, it is not that hard to do. It's actually one of the few that I almost never get a breakfast sandwich because they're not terribly hard to make at home. I will give you the succession, sure, that the meat product that goes on there is tricky unless you actually go out and physically buy the sausages or buy the bacon or whatever. So make them. But yeah, it's not that hard. It's not. So, okay. Yeah. But all
right. Well, thanks for ripping me down. Thanks
for ripping me down. You keep eating your frozen claptrap. That's right.
The grilled cheese burrito reigns supreme today.
Excellent.
I'm going to walk away from this podcast in a bad mood. And you know what I have tonight? The only thing I have to appease my bad mood.
Last of Us and Scotch.
Is more bad mood with Last of Us 2.
And Scotch.
And Scotch.
Scotch.
Cool. Hey, Doom, do you want to see us out?
Yeah, buddy. Guys and gals, thank you for listening.
Listen!
Holy shit! Check out AsteroidFactory.com. There you can find more information about this episode and all other episodes. And also, there you can leave us a voicemail that we may just play on a future episode of the podcast.
Hey, listen, share, and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or any podcast app of your choice.
Listen!
Question mark icon. If you like the show, please tell your like-minded friends. Anything you can do to spread the word helps us
take over the world. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for up-to-the-minute coverage of what we geek out about. And don't forget this week, watch a movie, read a comic, and do some gaming. Stay away from the news. It's evil. I'm Chewy.
I'm Three Toes of Fury.
And I'm James Von Doom. Remember, until the robots rise up, put your ankles in it. You dirty bastard. Yeah.